Welcome to Safety Chats. Host Jason Stark, Director of Safety at Baldwin Safety and Compliance, shares decades of aviation experience and a passion for safety. Let's get started with this week's Safety Chat.
So I have two boys, one being 13, the other one being 11. And for those of you that are parents, you know just as well as I do, no matter what you do, it is not fair to the other one. For example, I gave my one boy 3 Reese's peanut butter cups, singles, and I gave the other one 3 Kit Kats, the single ones. And because the Reese's peanut butter cup wrappers are bigger than the Kit Kat wrappers, next thing I hear is, well, that's not fair. How come you got bigger pieces of the candy than I did? And blah, 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 so on and so forth. And so we're used to hearing that. And when in your life have you seen an outcome that you thought was not fair based on outcomes for other people in similar situations? And that's a real problem, especially when people's perceptions are involved in terms of fairness. And another word for fairness would be justness. And when it comes to justness, especially in our organizations, when we're looking at our responses to events, we can't leave it to chance, and we can't have this thing where the person is saying, oh, that's not fair. So we need to be careful of that. So, hey, this is Jason. Welcome to the Baldwin Safety Chat podcast. Podcast where we talk about anything safety management, safety in general, organizational excellence, organizational behavior, you name it, we're going to try to cover, because what we're trying to do is maybe just scratch our heads a little bit, what we hear and things that could potentially help us to be just a little bit better at our jobs. I know you're all doing a fantastic job anyway. I have faith in the fact that you guys are class A, number one, top shelf safety managers. You guys are the best. So anyway, today during this pod, I want to talk a little bit about justice. There is a theory on justice. It's called organizational justice theory. I know it's not a very creative term, but that's what it comes down to. But in its most basic sense, there's two types of justness or justice. There is what's called distributive justice, and then there is called procedural justice. Now, there is an important distinction between these two. Distributive justice is how fair or how just the outcome of a process or the outcome of a decision is perceived to an individual. So, for example, let's say one person gets $5 for moving a stone from point A to point B, and the other person gets $10 for moving a stone of similar size the same distance. I think what you would see is that the person who received the $5 would view the outcome as not just or as unfair. Let's take this into the organization. Let's say you had an individual deviate from the rules and he gets basically the equivalent of a slap on the hand saying, don't do that again. And you get another person who's maybe not as well liked, deviates from the exact same rule, potentially in the same conditions, and ends up being punished or even fired. You would say that's not just. So let's talk about the other one being procedural justice. And procedural justice looks at the people's perception of the fairness of the procedures used to determine those outcomes that they receive. So think about that. You have distributive justice, which is the outcome. And then you have procedural justice, which is a perception of the justness or fairness of the procedure used to determine the outcomes the person received. So when it comes to hiring practices, let's say the procedure used to hire people is based on height. And basically they say, if you're not over 6 foot tall, you can't have this wonderfully paying job. We want somebody 6 foot tall. And let's just say height had nothing to do with it. We're not talking like necessarily about something that's height related, like basketball or something like that. But let's just say that height had nothing to do with qualifications of the job. But you know what this job said? In the procedure that we're hiring, you have to be over 6 foot tall. Now me, I'm not 6 foot. And I'd probably look at that procedure and say, man, that's screwy. That's not fair. That's not just. And this is where it comes into the importance of the organization. When we look at an organization's response to an action of an individual that maybe had an unintentional violation, deviation, and again, the word there is unintentional, we need to look at not only our outcome, our response, but how we derived or how we came to that response. Both of them, ideally, need to be viewed as just. Now, when I say response, we've heard of this notion of a just culture. One of the attributes of a safety culture, if you will, with a safety culture actually being an attribute of organizational culture. But let's talk about justness in the organization, not necessarily as with safety, but justness in the organization. And when we look at justness in the organization, especially the just culture, what we've always heard is that it's a culture of psychological safety. It's a culture where you can submit an error, deviation, violation without fear of retribution. That seems to be always the tagline of just culture, is without fear of retribution. Now, just because there is no fear of retribution, or just because there may not be retribution, or there may be, depending on the item, just because it's not there does not mean that the organization is not going to give a response. But sometimes there has to be a response. So whether it be training, whether it be counseling, whether it be flight simulator training, or whether it even be I don't want to say demotion, but it may be a case where, okay, maybe this person needs to not serve in the same capacity that they have been serving for a limited period of time, just for reorientation. So it may be that, but the organization is fully authorized. They are empowered to respond. They are entitled to respond. So because the organization needs to protect itself, because it was an unintentional deviation, that's fine. And it may be a symptom of the system, but there's still that front line we have to address. This is where the rubber meets the road. How the organization determines what the response is going to be, it's absolutely crucial that it is perceived as being just. And also the outcome of that procedure also needs to be perceived as being just. Now, how do we do that? Now, I can tell you how we don't do that. If somebody submits a unintentional deviation, violation, error, slip, lapse, mistake, whatever you want to call it, if somebody submits that, and let's say it just goes to the chief pilot who, depending on how he feels that day, makes a decision. One, I wouldn't expect people to view that procedure as being just. And two, I'm sure the outcome would vary greatly and may not be considered as being just either. So that is what we need to watch out for. So how do we manage this? How do we make it so that both those sides are just? And my solution to that is to have a formal algorithm, if you will, or a formal map that talks about how the organization is going to make these decisions on what the response is going to be. First of all, how the organization is going to determine culpability. Was it something that truly was a system-generated error that could not have been avoided? Or is it something that, yes, maybe a system error, but also the sharp end of the stick had something to do with it too, or may have exacerbated the error, may have done something wrong, or may not be fully trained, or may not be trained to be in that situation. Whatever it may be, you need a process to determine that. And you need a process that's going to give a response to each one of those determinations. So for example, if it was determined that the system is fine and that the individual is at fault, and I want to be careful about saying that because we're going to say, well, it's not just culture. He says it's fault. I didn't say retribution. I said he may be at fault. He may be culpable. Then the organization may have a response of not necessarily punishment, but maybe retraining or suspension of duties for a little bit. And people can say, well, that's punishment. Well, you got to think about it. Punishment to me would be you fire them, you shame them, you embarrass them. But the organization has to protect itself. And if it comes to the place where maybe somebody needs to be removed from a position to be retrained for remediation, that's not punishment per se. It may be considered punishment on the individual, but in the grand scheme, you're actually helping the organization, retraining this person and enabling this person to do better the next time around. Now, if you permanently demoted them, yes, I would consider that punishment. But if you temporarily moved them from their duties and capacities, then no, I don't consider that punishment. I consider that actually as probably doing that person a favor right now. But that's a whole nother different discussion. But anyway, that outcome needs to be derived from a procedure that's considered just, and then that outcome needs to be viewed as just. And what I can tell you is that if you have a formal and consistent procedure to address that, you're going to go a long way towards the procedural and distributive justice because of the fact that it's something documented. Again, if it just goes to a person, depending on how they feel, and it's like, let's throw spaghetti against the wall and see if it sticks. That procedurally, that's not considered just. And chances are the outcome would not be considered just. So something to think about. So when you talk about the, you know, slips, laps, errors, mistakes, you're not subject to retribution. Look at how that's determined. Now, the other side of this too is there are times for retribution. So justness has to have retribution. Because let's go back to that distributive justice. If you had somebody do a criminal or negligent act or an intentional deviation, then intentionally going around the rules for his or her own purposes or her own good, and nothing happens to them, then what you're basically saying, if you want to have distributive justice, then for fairness, for that justice, then everybody should be able to go skirt around the rules and not get in trouble. Not good for the organization. Telling that right now, not good for the organization. So there has to be a policy in place along with the procedures to say this was considered outside of bounds and therefore we need to exact retribution. And that's okay. That's part of the just culture because justice doesn't mean no blame. Sometimes there is blame. Sometimes a person has to be punished, but that again is part of the justice. And that needs to be documented formally so that the procedural justice will be perceived and will be in place so that there will be no questions on how these outcomes were derived. Now, for a good resource, if you go to the GAIN Foundation's Roadmap to a Just Culture, it's called A Roadmap to a Just Culture. They have a beautiful algorithm in there. I know I use it in all my classes, and I suggest you do too. Use it in your book, or if you have your own procedure, fantastic, because at least it's formalized, at least it's documented, which is completely awesome. So I hope this helped. I hope we get a sense of organizational justice and organizational justice theory. Again, a bland title for what it is, but it pretty much says what it is. I hope this helps quite a bit. And you know what? I would love to hear from you. If you like this, if you hated it, go ahead and select that like button, but don't do it just to make me feel better. But make sure the procedure you're using to determine if you like this or not is just. And I'm kind of half kidding there. So let me know if there's anything you want to hear or talk about. Let me know. And I can't thank you all enough for what you're doing out there. Love you guys. And until the next pod, stay safe.
This podcast is brought to you by Baldwin Safety and Compliance, the leader in safety management for the transportation industry. Since 2004, Baldwin has been providing state-of-the-art solutions and 24/7 support to the aviation and transportation industries. Baldwin's clients include all sizes and types of transportation operators. Baldwin provides safety and related business services to commercial and non-commercial transportation operators, medical transporters, FBOs, MROs, airports, flight schools, UAS operators, firefighters, OEMs, ground transport operators, and others. Visit BaldwinSMS.com to discover how Baldwin can enhance your organization's safety program.